Welcome back to the Paula Gordon Show. I'm Paula Gordon. Bill Russell is with me. We are with Hildegard Westerkamp in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hildegard Westerkamp is a composer, and she thinks a great deal about sound. You used a word as we went away that I want to come back to, this business of a sound ecology, being a part of a larger system. As I was thinking about how does this program fit into the show that we are doing over time, a lot of what we need to be thinking about, it seems to me, as we create the future, is being conscious of things like, what do I want to surround myself with? And bingo, there you are with sound, which is a deeply important part of what we surround ourselves with, isn't it?
Yes. We surround ourselves with an incredible overload of sound.
Like, what, say overload. What, like what? I mean, in the 17th century, there were lots of sounds. Was that an overload?
I would think overload of mechanical sounds, overload of sound that covers up a quietness.
Why should quiet be important?
Well, because the quiet is gives us the space to listen. The quiet always is a space and time that gives us a breather, that gives our ears a way to reach out to sounds that are important to us. Now, if we are constantly surrounded by traffic sound, for example, let's say living beside a main road, we would be constantly having a sound wall next to our lives. We would not be able to listen beyond the street. In other words, we would not hear our community. We wouldn't be orally connected to our community other than through traffic sound. And all I'm knowing from that particular experience is that traffic, that's it. There's no people involved there. There's no signals involved there. There's no people's voices. There's no footsteps. You can't actually hear your community if you're always hearing air conditioning, traffic sounds, airplanes, subways, whatever. I mean, everything urban, mechanical, our own home equipment is continuous broadband sound. And that type of sound has the quality of simply wiping out everything else, covering up everything else.
We also tend to leave the radio on and to have the television on in most homes. People come home and they turn on one or more of the above.
Yeah, and that's interesting because that sound gives us a sense that we're connected to the world, but it may disconnect us from the immediate community, just like the Walkman does. Walking with a Walkman gives us the illusion that we have chosen our soundscape with the music we want to listen to, but in fact, it separates us from, acoustically separates us from the community and allows us to ignore it. And in many cases, people will say, well, why should I even be connected to this community? It doesn't mean anything to me. To me, that's a vicious circle. If we would actually eliminate all those sounds, and if we were able to just switch off everything for a day when all electricity is gone, imagine that. Imagine all electricity is gone and all gasoline is gone. And we would actually be free of any kind of mechanical sound. Well, I don't really know what would happen to us at that point. We may be scared of that. But certainly one experience I had many years ago in the desert in Mexico, where we had no mechanical sounds for 3 weeks, and I heard one jet in that whole time, was that I began to sing again. I began to make music. We all began to make sounds that we hadn't made in years. We became suddenly sound makers, and on a deeper level, to me, it was a sense of making culture, of in fact creating music from the place in which we were. It to me just indicated how incredibly masked and covered up our lives are, that it's very difficult to reach down to the voices that we really have, to the speaking voices, the singing voices that we really have, when we're always surrounded by sound walls.
And there would be people who would say, yeah, you're a composer, you care about this stuff, but I'm hearing you say that this is important to all of us.
Well, I mean, I think everyone has to decide for themselves whether they think this is important or not. But my own experience has been with working with people, and certainly through my own experience, has been that when you cut out noise and when you allow people the time and space to listen, let me rephrase this. When you allow people, when you give people 2 hours in a workshop and say, this is a time for listening, And perhaps you go on a walk together and all you do is listening. That's a sound walk.
Thank you.
You don't do anything else. You don't speak with each other. As a group of people, you're together and you listen to a soundscape. When you do that, my experience has been that people are amazed. Amazed because there's new information, even though we may have gone through an environment that they go through every day. It's very difficult to describe this. I mean, it's very difficult to say, well, what's so important about this?
You're talking about the predicates. I mean, what I'm hearing you saying, it makes sense. The predicates for community, mm-hmm. and more deeply, the predicates for culture. And I don't think you're saying that all the urban woes can be laid at the foot of noise and acoustic pollution. But I also think you're saying that that may be a contributor.
Oh, it's very
and that
much
it could
a
be a building block to making the community a
well, when you,
more communal place to be.
Yeah. I mean, just think about how hard it is to have a meaningful conversation when you're walking along a busy road, or when you're constantly in an office building where the air conditioning is constantly coming up down onto your head. Your thinking is in fact influenced by that because your space is small. Your physical acoustic space has been reduced. I think when we want to be culturally and community and politically active, we need a balance between acoustic stimulation and acoustic quiet. And I don't mean by acoustic stimulation noise necessarily. I mean by that it's a lively surrounding. For example, if you were in India, in New Delhi, where it's very loud, it's very noisy. But the amazing thing to me, which I found very stimulating at the time, because it was new, was that there were so many car horns. And the car horns were like the voices of the people in the cars always speaking about something, always saying something. I know that the Indians don't necessarily agree with this analysis of mine because they experience it every day. But really what I'm speaking about is the stimulation in the sense of keeping the ears alerted, not numbing the ears. The problem with a lot of an urban environment is that your ears get numbed. You don't want to listen to it anymore. Well,
there's a physiological basis for that. The neurons fire, and after a while, they quit firing.
Yeah,
and
they need
recovery time. And this is not just psychological you're talking
about.
That's
right.
Really,
and there's also another physical aspect, simply that if you're exposed to noise, you're going slightly hard of hearing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just going deaf. That's And if
and
you
it
then
will eventually
place,
deaden your the exactly. nerve endings. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's one way to get to silence. But
yeah, that's one very good reason why we need silence. We need for our ears to recover so that we can actually hear again. So the physiological to me is completely clear. But psychologically,
the psychological
also,
I find just fascinating that we have isolated ourselves in smaller and smaller spaces, as you say, mm-hmm. which gives us less room to be creative, to think up new stuff.
What happens if we can't hear our own breath? I think we stop breathing deeply. I mean, I'm just thinking of the experience of driving out of the city into a wilderness environment, stopping the car, and the first thing you do is you take a deep breath,
mm-hmm.
and you can actually hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You actually, and people may not be aware of this, but you actually are in touch with your breathing, with your mm-hmm. footsteps, with all your physical functions, and you're not that if you are exposing yourself to too much noise all the time.
Well, and people...
Those are the rhythms of life.
Yes.
You know, it's literally not life. It's not FM radio, honest. I mean, the rhythms are the rhythms of
nor
the heart.
Nor is it AM.
Oh, well. We're doing our part.
It is also interesting, as you say this, that every great religious tradition, somebody goes to the desert where it's very quiet, and they begin to listen to their own voices, in however the tradition renders that. But you don't hear that unless you're in a place that allows the hearing, psychologically, physiologically. And if we are going into a future that is going to be hopefully better than not, we must give ourselves spaces in which to create those new places. And I'm hearing you say, that sound is a real important part of that because it's so deeply biological.
Yes. And I think that it's all about balance. between the stimulation and the rest. And the each time when you talk about a stimulating sound environment and when you talk about quiet sound environment, you're always speaking about the quality of the environment. I've been in various cities in the last few years and countries, and I've noticed an incredible difference. And to me, the two prototypes of those extremes are the city of Brasilia in Brazil and the city of New Delhi. And the astonishing thing was that Brasilia is a newly designed city, and it was very much designed around the car. And in that city, you could not ever get away from the traffic sound or the air conditioning sound of modern buildings. I couldn't find a hotel room without any traffic sound in that whole city, and I did look. In New Delhi, an ancient city, 10 million people, hugely noisy, you find many, many, many corners where it's completely quiet. You don't hear traffic sound. You don't hear mechanical sound. You will hear people sounds, but there's an underlying quiet. And these are little neighborhoods.
And those are living sounds, not machine sounds.
Exactly. Those are the sounds of life, and they are community sounds.
This makes you sound like you're hostile to technology, and I don't think you're hostile to technology.
You use it.
I use it all the time. And I have a car, too.
This is that balance thing.
But it is worth thinking about, because we don't think about the technology that surrounds us at every turn. We're going to think about that a little more when we get back in just a moment. We are in Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada, with Hildegard Westerkamp, who is a composer and a thoughtful sound person. Bill Russell is here with me. I'm Paula Gordon. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.